This is the first time I think you've been on with us live, right? I think this is because every time we've featured you on the show, it's been in recording. I don't think we've actually had you in reality. It's like AI has come to life.
It's all different, right? There's no editing. This is just pure raw stuff.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah, there's definitely no editing. Trust me on that. Listen, Thomas, first off, I want to say a huge thank you for your support to us over the years, because your demos, your work you do is incredible on the AppleVis site, but also just allowing us to broadcast that here. I just want to start off by saying thank you for that. I really mean that. That means a lot to us.
Yeah. Oh, we appreciate it. And it just means a lot. And thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I love Double Tap. You and Sean do an amazing job. Keep up the good work and just do what you do each and every day.
I like that you say that now, because now whatever we say that follows it, we've always got that bit we can put at the end.
Yep.
Now so it doesn't matter if you have a huge argument and you hang up the call, we can say, ah, but you know, he still likes us. Hey, listen, I want to get your take on this whole Apple antitrust thing as well, because it's just been a really interesting week, I guess. You know, last week, the news coming out from the DOJ, as I was talking about, and this antitrust case. But we'll get to that a bit later. Let's kick off with AppleVis, because that's the story I wanted to really talk to you about. Big changes over there. And they are big changes, because AppleVis has been the place that I have spent most of my life on. When it came to discovering new things about Apple, or just, you know, wanting to know about a particular piece of software, or looking for an app, even just sometimes just wanting to find a new app to play with and hear blind people give their take on it. It was the first place I would always go to. And I remember when I started using Windows and a screen reader with Windows in 2017, I remember thinking, goodness, if only there was an AppleVis for Windows. And I know I'm not alone in that, because I know people probably say the same about Android and other things as well. Although there are more Android sites out there, which is good. But nothing, I don't think, quite like what you've created over at AppleVis. So why the change? Why the move towards Windows, Android, and smart tech, and assistive tech generally?
You know, AppleVis is going to be turning 14 this year, believe it or not. 14 years, which is totally unbelievable to think about. And as you say, in that time, it seems like we've grown, and more people and members in the community come to find AppleVis the more that the topics start to grow. So we start to get into kind of that blurring area where people would have, like, for example, let's just say we do talk about Windows, but it had to be Apple related, right? So we could talk about iTunes on, you know, unfortunately not so great, but nonetheless it's an Apple topic. But then people saying kind of like, I wish we could talk more about Windows, but we can't. Or Android, that's a big one. We always had people come on saying, hey, you know, if you were this on Android, it does this and this and that. So it got into that gray area. And we just found over time that people were just amazing when it comes to sharing the wealth of knowledge that people have and being able to help other people. And we started to observe this as a whole, as in, you know, we live in a society now where we have multiple gadgets. So we got, it's not just Apple anymore. So like myself, I'm on Windows. I have the Alexa lady. Oh, hope I didn't activate her. I have the, you know, there's just so many gadgets around us that makes us more independent as we are. And it's not always about Apple. And I think it's time. I think it's time just to take some baby steps. And so we decided to just open up the forum. As in, these are the forms of the discussions you can talk about, which is Windows, it could be Android, it could be assistive technology and hardware, and it could be smart home hardware. And so we thought that would be the good first step, because forms is where the fragmentation starts to happen if it wasn't for us opening it up. So if you had questions about Windows, where do I go? You know, we have these email options, of course. We've got social media. But it just seems so fragmented. It's like we wanted a one-stop shop where people have Apple, where they can talk, hey, I can talk about my Apple here. And then if I have some Windows questions, I can stay in the same site. And you get that same knowledgeable people that are already there, that are members and users of the community. So it's us trying to open up to the community's needs and see how it goes. So this is kind of a pilot test for the next 3-4 months or whatever not, just see how it goes. So for now, we're sticking to just forms.
That's really interesting, a pilot trial period almost. I'll come back to that. But I just want to say, I think this is really exciting because there's no denying, and as Stephen said, AppleViz has really built up its reputation, right? The moderation, absolutely fantastic. I think the forums are the most accessible, easy-to-use place I've ever gone to get information. Community is great. And, you know, you've lasted all these years, and your reputation has been rock solid throughout. So I think opening it up is a fantastic idea because AppleViz has got that reputation, and people are going to trust that you do the right thing. Which brings me back to why a trial period here. Why are you nervous about this?
You know, the majority of the people seem to like what we're doing. However, we were just unsure about how some people would take it. Now, some people have already expressed negativism to it already. They say we're going to be losing our core mission of Apple. The fear is that it's going to be WindowViz, AndroViz, AppleViz. So what are we going to go? Are we going to go to BlindViz? No. It's just there's fear, and I understand those people's fear. And so we feel like if we just kind of gently push it out there, see how it is taken. Because we weren't sure how people were going to approach this because we weren't not sure if we would get a backlash, especially putting Android on AppleViz. What? You know, it's just like, oh, my gosh, we talk about Macs. Oh, we're going to talk about Windows, too. You know, we didn't know what kind of reception we would have gotten. So we just felt like this was just the perfect baby step. Sean, I think that's a great question. But you'll be surprised how there are a handful of people that are very worried about AppleViz losing its core mission. And I can assure you, we will always be AppleViz that we always have. We will always bring things that we've done for the past 14 years. Nothing will change. It's just we're just adding some forms just to be able to expand the communication, because a majority of the people out there, like yourself, I'm sure, that use different devices, right?
Yeah, or want to. That's the other thing, right? Might want to move on to something else. And I've seen a bit of a debate. I've been seeing this on Mastodon recently. A lot of people who are trying out the Mac for the first time, or maybe going back to the Mac after a while, and saying, where's all the information, or where can I get information about this? And then they go to AppleViz. Equally, people trying out Windows or thinking about moving to Windows who would like to know about the experiences there, want to know what that's like. There is another fear, though, isn't there? And that fear is that the perennial Android versus Apple debate, the Windows versus Mac debate kicks up inside the forums. How do you deal with that? Is it just moderation all day, all night?
You know, that's tough. I'm not going to – it is tough because
– it's going to happen, right?
It's just – sometimes it can get so toxic. And that's the one thing we don't want AppleViz to turn into, because some places just turn into a big old toxic waste dump. And people steer away from wanting to ask questions because they're fear of what's going to happen when they ask these controversial questions, per se. And so we try our very best to moderate it. If we feel like people are gone off the rails and off the topic, we will try to put a comment in that say, hey, please stay on topic. But if we find you hitting those rules over and over and over, that we will just start giving you suspension. And so that's why we do so well on the Apple Viz because it's not a whole lot to watch. So it's not a Reddit, for example, and there's just billions of different subreddits that you need those moderators. Well, we're not very big in terms of a team, so we have to keep it small. And so that's why we're only introducing a few things. So there are rules in place that people need to abide, and we always give them warnings and say, hey, check out this rule. There's no trolling and stuff like that. But in the most part, you go in with an open mind, and a lot of people do. So be respectful. Don't point out people and trying to slander them or make them feel small. It's just you need to go in with an open mind. If you're not going to go in with open mind, yeah, I can see why some things may irk you or rub you the wrong way. So it's one of those things that is typical in a community-based discussion. You know, it's going to happen.
In any discussion. I've seen it in every single platform, everywhere.
Right.
No matter what the topic, it's always there's always going to be disagreement. And sometimes that's not handled very in a mature way, or it can get, as you said, toxic. But again,
but hang on. I still, you know, obviously I am still traumatized after my own suspension.
I was just going to get to that, Stephen Scott. I was going to you know.
I'm still traumatized.
You got to do something to keep those trolls and closed-minded, narrow, hateful people out. So let's talk about Stephen Scott being banned.
Anybody that rhymes with Stephen Scott is now banned.
Mr. Bot. Can't think of any right now. Caught. Okay, you're all out. Okay, fine. That's how you're doing it. All right, fine. But how many people are, and by the way, as much as I say that, I think that was more my fault than anyone else's, just, you know.
Yes.
I hadn't used the account for so long, and I'd gone back in, and the first post I'd put up, it said, you're banned. And, you know, it gave me a few good days on air. Thank you for that, Tom.
Yes, it did.
But I just want to say, you know, you talk about the moderation team. How many of them are there? How many people are there actually doing it?
Well, you know, there's just the editorial team members at this time. We don't feel like we need moderators, so we are moderator for a say. So there's seven of us. Yeah, seven of us on the team that will just kind of do various maintenance and try to moderate all the different subjects and comments and things that are going on.
That's you do a great job for seven people, I've got to say, because it's such a fine line to walk. You're never going to make everyone happy. You're either going to be, you know, too strict or not strict enough, or disagreeing with one side and another. It's a thankless job. But as I said, I think the moderation on AppleViz is really good. I got to say, though, I am slightly disappointed that's still a concern. The whole my whatever is better than your whatever, and it can get to that level. I mean, we have a joke, Stephen especially has a joke about, you know, Android versus iPhone, but it's always a bit tongue-in-cheek, and there's always that, you know, it's nothing serious. So you still think there's that potential for it to get out of hand, even in AppleViz itself?
Oh, yeah. It's just the nature of the beast of humans. Humans' nature are... Right? It's just all walk of life that comes to that community. And you get some people that are just extremely touchy. If you just say one thing out of line, it's ridiculous. People will be complaining about your title is dumb, or you misspelled something. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
And they actually go up and post that. And it's just like, hey, how about we just focus on the topic, talk to the person that asking the question or whatever not, or asking for your thoughts. Don't bang on each. But it just happens, Sean. Just like you said, it doesn't matter what platform you're on. It happens. But, you know, it's going to happen on AppleViz. We try to get it onto it quickly as we can. As you say, you know, there's 24 hours of the day, and some of us are asleep when others aren't, and sometimes we're both asleep at the same time, and things just happen. But at some point, we will nab and try to control things if we can.
I think you are a beacon of hope in the internet world, because, you know, you look around social media, the world's largest collection of angry people, as I like to call it. And, you know, you see what's going on there. It shows how moderation matters and why moderation matters. And, you know, considering all of that, you do keep a very tidy house over at AppleViz. And, you know, yes, there are controversial topics, but I don't think that's a bad thing either, right? I mean, that's the whole point of a forum, is to get a discussion going, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, I kind of laugh sometimes when I see some comments like, oh, I found a bug inside macOS. That's it. Cancel the whole thing. You know, it's like, right, okay, you know, let's calm down a little bit here. it doesn't have to be the end.
And that was Stephen last week.
Yeah, that's right. I need to stop posting those. Listen, you know, obviously, I was thinking about this because, of course, I've been talking about Apple antitrust today. Is that why you've decided to do this? Because you're frightened that the U.S. Department of Justice is going to come after you for being too Apple-centric?
I am terrified. The world has come to an end right here.
What's your take on this? What's your take on it? You know my thoughts, but what's yours?
You know, my first thought when I heard that this was coming down the pipe, I was thinking to my head, oh my gosh, are we going to have a DMA, kind of a antitrust that's going over in Europe? And it turns out to be, no, this is culturally different and something totally different. Americanized, I suppose. It's just, this is ridiculous. There's a lot of points in here that I disagree with, and biggest problem I have with it, a lot of it is just outdated information. So it just tells you we must have a terrible red tape of getting things done over here, because it took how many years just to be able to fight on something that occurred, what, 5 years ago? And things have changed. So we can break it down to different points if you want, but I think as overall, I think that when you hear the Apple lawyer saying, oh my gosh, we are going to beat the pants off them, that tells you something.
There's only one area of it that kind of stands out for me that seems to be the most, or one of the areas I think maybe deserves a little bit of investigation, although, again, like you say, outdated information, right? This is what I was talking about earlier, that you know, you have a situation here where they're talking about things like the adoption of RCS for text messaging, which is coming in. They're bringing that in.
Exactly.
So the suggestion that, and also, I just want to say for a second here, that they almost suggested that what Beeper Mini was doing was a good thing, that it actually opened up iMessage to Android, for those people who remember the Beeper story and Beeper Mini story. You know, but the way they were doing this was not so much nefarious, but not exactly within terms of service. You know, well, and that's being kind, right? So, you know, to yes. suggest that's a good thing, to suggest that, you know, oh, well, you know, that's good because that was opening up the door and then Apple shut it, so bad on Apple. I don't know if I agree with that. And I didn't agree with it at the time.
You know, let me ask you this then. Is it okay for you to hack into a system, take over portion of it and say, okay, it's now available? If you have to do various motives or hacking to get the encryption key to work with it rather than working with Apple, then I think it's a mistake. I think I don't condone people hacking and gaining encryption key that wasn't meant for that purpose. So I'm not saying that Beeper Me is a bad idea. I would love to see iMessage open up, but it will never open up. That's just how Apple is. But back to the topic of the DOJ suing Apple based on they having a monopoly on message, I was like, what do you mean we haven't monopolized a message? Are you talking about iMessage? And so I was confused. But you're right. The RCS, the whole point of that was that it comes up with a open standard that everybody should use that will be able to have communication in a better manner. And I thought, that's a perfect solution. It's not – we got WhatsApp. We got other many different means. So WhatsApp is huge in the world. So I don't see where Apple falls into monopolizing. And I don't see in this point the iMessage needs to be opened up, because I feel that with the RCS and the WhatsApp, I think that is doable.
I hope so. I think it is important that we open up messaging platforms. I miss the days of Trillion, where you had ICQ, AOL, MSN, Messenger all in one place, and it didn't matter what you were using. I like the idea of no matter where I am, people can contact me. I think that's why WhatsApp has done so well. WhatsApp is multi-platform, mainly accessible pretty much everywhere, I think, now. And I've moved over to WhatsApp almost full time, especially since the audio messaging in iMessages is hard work, to say the least. So I actually look forward to it being opened up. Will it happen? I don't know. And yes, Apple have said it's going to go to RCS, but there's devil in that detail. Like the DMA in the App Store, you can be compliant, but you can also make it not worthwhile.
An old version they're running up, or will be running apparently. So 2019 version of RCS, which is actually part of the complaint, is that they're not adopting the latest standards, so it could actually cause more problems. Just to clarify something on the WhatsApp point, though, the suggestion within the DOJ complaint is that WhatsApp is being held back, limited. Users are not getting the full experience of WhatsApp. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? What are you talking about? There's absolutely no limitations on it. If the complaint is that you cannot access WhatsApp chats within iMessage, that's not a complaint as far as I'm concerned. That's a good thing. I'm okay with that. I don't want my iMessage app full of 800 different chats. I mean, look, I get your point, Sean. There are options, and there are apps out there which, by the way, will do all this. And this is kind of the point, isn't it? That the suggestion that there's no other way of doing things, it's just not true. Because there is lots of choice available inside that ecosystem. You don't have to use iMessage if you don't want to. You're not worse off for using WhatsApp on an iPhone versus an Android phone. I mean, the same argument surely applies to Google and Android as it does to Apple, if that's the case.
I would agree. I think it's a very difficult argument to have, because what is a monopoly? When does it become open season for everyone's IP, everyone's intellectual property? It's that there's work that's gone into making the ecosystems work as they do, and to open them up to competitors is, I never agreed with the browser choice. Internet Explorer, it's shipping with Windows, that's terrible. You got to choose. It made it a terrible experience for the end user. So it's all about the end user for me.
The one area I want to mention that I was a little bit more sympathetic to was Apple Pay. And for one simple reason, now whilst it's true, and again this is outdated information because the suggestion is that Apple are pushing people to use their digital wallet using Apple Pay and therefore discouraging others to move towards, say, NFC-based payments, that's not actually true anymore because Apple are opening that up with Tap to Pay. You can use NFC, so other wallets are able to be used and will be able to be used in the future. It's just we're not quite there yet. We're a few months away from that being released. I almost feel like Tim Cook's going to come out and say, could you just let us announce iOS 18, please, and then we'll fix all this. But the thing is, the one difference between Google and Apple here is that Apple do charge a fee to banks to use this. That's the only difference. Google Pay and Samsung Pay do not require a fee from the bank. So we're not being hit by the fee, although arguably we might be because the banks will be putting those fees somewhere towards us. But the point is that to use Apple Pay, there is a cost for the bank to do it. And Apple are making a lot of money off that, whereas Google and Samsung aren't. So that's the only area I can see a little bit of a chink of light in that discussion. But in the sense of actually shutting off other wallets, not making it possible for other wallets to be used, not using and utilizing NFC, I don't see that argument. I think you could spend hours talking about this, and honestly I feel we could, because there's just so much in this. I think the biggest question though, Thomas, is what do you think this is going to do to Apple? I mean, we know what it's done to their stock price, but what's it going to do to Apple over the next few years? Because this is going to be a long-running conversation and certainly court case.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, think yesterday they lost, $140 billion in stock value. But, they're resilient. I don't think it's going to hit them too hard. Now, in terms of when would this be accomplished? Yeah, you're right. This is going to be not months. We're talking years. This is the same way and the same thing that happened with the DMA over EU. As a matter of fact, it's almost like Apple already had a run at it, and so they're just taking everything that what they've learned and told the EU and bringing it back here and say, hey, you know, it, they said they opened up the NFC, yes, but I believe one of those reasons was because of the EU. So thanks to the EU is that they got answers and they're having to bend a few things. I agree with you on the NFC. I think it should be not just open, but open financially. So in other words, if your bank wants to have a card to use to pay for such and such, they should. I totally agree with that.
Especially with the security that it offers as well. I mean, I think that's the bit that people tend to, and again, this is not referenced in this case, but, you know, the security that it offers, there's a sense, and I feel this, there's a sense of an argument of a lack of security is being brought in by not opening this up to more players. I honestly believe the opposite to be true. I mean, we've had this discussion about the EU argument, Sean. You know, opening up to third parties. We had this conversation, remember, with Pratik Patel?
Yep.
You know, I don't think it's a great idea, if I'm honest. I don't think this is a great course of action. I just don't know what the long-term impact is going to be here. It is something we're going to obviously discuss over the next few years, and we'll get into all the detail of it. It is very interesting, but I think there's one thing that I did. I was watching the news last night, and they were talking about this story, and it was interesting because the reporter referred to the Apple stores as almost places of worship, and I find that an interesting choice of words because I think there's some truth to that, and I think that in some ways there are people, and maybe I'm one of them, maybe we all are, but you know, I'm certainly probably more in that category of being one of those people who will jump to the defense, not blindly. I'm not going to blindly jump to defense, but I am going to defend a company, I think, if it's being wronged here. And I think this is the one difference between other companies and Apple, is they've got a strong fan base.
That also brings strong critics against it because they're so strong based.
That's true. Yeah. And hence where we're at.
Sometimes fanaticism can bring irrationalism, right? So it sometimes.
No, it can.
I look at. No, you're absolutely right, Stephen. What was I thinking? I tell you what, though, Thomas, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the main thing this highlights to me, and this isn't just America, by the way, this is also in the EU and everywhere else,
and Australia. It's
just how inept government is when it comes to dealing with tech. I mean, it's just so far behind. You've only got to look at the TikTok ByteDance Senate hearings, for example. You know, does it use Wi-Fi? Well, it uses the internet. Yeah, but does it use Wi-Fi? There's just so much. You just don't know. How can you possibly legalize and regulate something where you're so far behind and don't really understand the technology behind it? It's I don't know the answer to that one.
It's tough because it's a government. And you know as well as I do, government is just slow. They cannot move fast enough that technology is moving. And I think that's the key issue with that. I think Apple's going to be fine here. I really do as a whole. And I think the government is going to find more of a red face when this is all said and done. But in saying that, I think it's okay. And kind of touch on what Stephen was saying earlier is that there's a reason why people buy iPhone. Why? We know it's secured, it's privacy, we have reliability. Not saying that Android isn't, but iPhone is just known to do that. It's just as is. And if you don't like that, there's options. There's Samsung, there's Pixel. Yes, they have the Android OS, but they're different version and flavors. So I don't get it because as a whole planet, what the iPhone is, what, maybe 30-40%? So it's not even like if it was 80-90% like Microsoft is.
Well, those stats are interesting. So when the DOJ brought the lawsuit against Microsoft, Microsoft had about 95% market share in the States.
Whoa.
Today, yeah. Apple has about 55% share in the US. And I find that interesting to consider that a monopoly at 55%. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's beyond that, and I get that. It's not specifically around the number of iPhones that are out there. That's not what the case is here. But I think it is interesting that that is where we're at in terms of numbers. I also think it's kind of worrying that a country which talks about capitalism and the desire to build, to invent, to create, to dream the impossible dream, etc., is coming up with this. I find it strange. And it does lead me to my final question, Thomas. Would this be resolved if Trump took office this year? Or next year it will be?
Throw that under.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, you know, there's an election coming up. I know we might want to pretend it's not, but
a grenade into the room.
Oh my gosh.
Answer that,
wow.
Thomas.
You've got 60 seconds to answer that.
All right. Now, with political biases and thoughts out of the way, trying to be neutral on this, you know, Trump has a way with things. So I do wonder if he says this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't think
he would let this continue, do you? This doesn't seem like the kind of thing he would do.
Wow.
I don't know. Boy. I mean, who knows? Who knows?
And on that note, thank you so much for joining us, Thomas. I'm saving in here. Stephen, you'll get blacklisted again.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be off AMI as well.
That's a tough question. I take the fifth, though, right?
It's got you thinking about it.
I take the fifth.
It's been an interesting one, but we'll see. I'm sure it will come up. I'm sure it will come up in the political debates. Thomas, this is a topic I'm sure that will no doubt rear its head on AppleViz as well, because everyone's talking about it. The website is incredible. I think what you're doing is amazing. I think this is such a smart move, and I look forward to contributing more to it and learning as I continue to do from it as well. So thanks so much again for your time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. Love you guys. Keep up the great job, and now I got to go off and ban Stephen Scott.
That's okay. Nice, isn't it? I say all these nice things, and that's the response. Oh, well.
Thanks, Thomas.
Off to Android it is, then.
You betcha.
Thanks, Thomas.
All right. Bye-bye.